Forecast for today, clouds and sun, the high around the mid-50s. Gateway Technical College Board holding a public hearing at 7 o'clock tonight in the Pike Creek Horticulture Center on the Kenosha campus. This is regarding the proposed 2017-18 budget. It received initial approval from the board a few weeks back, setting the stage for tonight's required hearing. The proposed tax levy is up 4.25%, meaning a home valued at $150,000 in the Gateway District would pay $125.54 in taxes. That's about a $5 increase. Plans for amending the structure of Racine Unified Middle Schools proceeding quite well, according to Deputy Superintendent Eric Gallion, telling the Board of Education at their work session it was a fairly successful rollout. The next phase, he said, would include engaging more stakeholders. And Dr. Gallion said it appears to be moving in the right direction, but he needs continued support, he says, to counter the always-present negative reaction.
You will have some people that will try to question some of those things, and we're doing our best to answer all of those questions. Well, a lot of the work that we'll be doing on Thursday will set the stage for what needs to get done immediately and then what continues to be worked on.
The board may get to vote on boundaries by late summer or early fall. Dennis Weiser mentioning the buzz in the community is surprisingly positive. School districts around southeast Wisconsin sent out notifications to parents recently about a new Netflix series on teen suicide called 13 Reasons Why, and to at least be aware of it getting lots of attention with students. The series, based on a fictional novel by Jay Asher about the suicide of a 17-year-old girl, also dealing, though, with issues like sexual assault, bullying, and drunk driving. Kenosha Unified's Tanya Reuter says their biggest concern with the production, the lack of examples for seeking help. Special education and student support leader Susan Valeri noting the series does not touch on mental illness and it comes close to romanticizing suicide. Racine Unified's Stacey Tapp says resources and information about the series did go to counselors, social workers, and psychologists, while school principals were also asked to make their staffers aware, and phone calls were made by the principals to the homes of students about those very same resources being available. Could be several more weeks before the Kenosha City Council tries another vote on a catch-and-release ordinance for feral cats. Issue up once again before the council this week, Alderman, though, with more questions. Kevin Matheson, the sponsor, saying, just give it a shot. After one speaker during citizens' comments noted catch-and-release programs don't reduce the feral cat population without an adoption component, Alderman Anthony Kennedy urged a 45-day delay.
I'd like to have representatives of Kindred Kitties and Safe Harbor to talk about if we can codify incentives for adoption into this ordinance. I'm concerned about the issue raised by the Alderman of the Third in reference to the transportation of those now neutered cats. So I'd like that clarified in the ordinance.
That 45-day deferral did pass 9-6. And the Racine Common Council had to spend time on a personal dispute between Alderman Sandy Widener and Mayor John Dickert last night over her desire to not be reappointed to the Cemetery Commission after 17 years. But it also got tied into the Mound Cemetery controversy of a few years ago. Widener telling administration of her desire a few weeks back. Her name, though, was on Tuesday night's list of mayoral appointments. She and the mayor then went back and forth verbally with claims and counterclaims about what happened 4 years ago regarding the Mount Cemetery situation and lost revenue to the city. Alderman Q.A. Shakur said that the council should have been given any documentation about this, including emails, so they could vote on the issue of Widener's desire not to be on that panel.
We're hearing from Your Honor, we're hearing from the alderperson of the 6th, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the fact of the matter is anything that we vote on, we should have it in front of us to review it. We should have had it Friday, Monday, whatever. If this is going to all take place, before we make a decision, we need to have the information. That's the first and foremost thing. But if the alderperson don't want to serve, fine.
Shakur adding, all this other stuff, I wouldn't say it's a waste of time, but I think we could do something different, unquote. Council, after almost 15 minutes on the issue, voted to amend the list of mayoral appointees, minus Alderman Widener, to the Cemetery Commission. Racine County has a buyer for the Ridgewood Care Center. Again, apparently, the county board scheduled to take a vote on the proposal in 3 weeks. There was a closed session last evening of the board's executive committee. They decided to forward that proposed sale to Altitude Health Services of Evanston to the full board. Only Supervisor Bob Miller opposed. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave saying that negotiations with Altitude began after talks had broken off with Villa Healthcare, the county's first choice. Says he's very impressed with Altitude and what they're offering.
It was exciting for me as they really wanted to be here. You know, and especially after they initially finished, they weren't the top choice. We went back to them. They were enthusiastic. I really feel that they're going to be not only a great nursing home owner and operator, but I also feel that they're going to be a great asset to our community as well.
Altitude agrees to purchase the facility and the business operation for $10 million in other considerations, including, he said, $750,000 in capital improvements.
The major terms are obviously the sale price, the investment into the physical plant, and then the assurance that those employees who want to and have a good work record and want to remain at Ridgewood will have the opportunity to do so.
If the full board approves the sale at its May 23rd meeting, Delagrave expects it to become finalized in August. Lutheran Urban Mission Initiative Incorporated is the current operator of the Renaissance School at 6150 Taylor Avenue in Mount Pleasant, also a middle school on 30th Avenue in Kenosha, and plans to expand for the 2017-18 term using the former Holy Name School building on the campus of St. Richard's Church on Villa Street in Racine. The Kenosha program, with mostly parental choice students, would move to that location while also adding 4K through 3rd grade classes. No changes, though, planned for the Taylor Avenue site. The St. Richard's School building, most recently housing Family Literacy of Racine. Lutheran Urban Mission Initiative was looking for a more spacious building because of a growing enrollment. They're called Clean Sweeps, and based on the popularity of last Saturday's event in Burlington, city officials may have to give consideration to holding more than one because of all the household hazardous waste, appliances, electronics, and medications collected. Public Works Director Jim Burglis said that about 200 more vehicles showed up compared to last year, and a lot of folks, he said, paid the $25 fee to get rid of those old tube TVs that nobody wants anymore, 3 dumpsters full. And electronics, those filled a dumpster and a half, and a lot of paint. 550 vehicles through the building getting rid of hazardous waste materials.
Oil, gas, paint, old gas, malathion, you name bug sprays, old farm paint, enamels. It's great we got this out of the environment. And those numbers I have not received from Veolia yet. They will be coming in. As for pharmaceuticals, Margaret said that 375 pounds worth of pharmaceuticals were taken in. That was from 250 cars. So that's roughly each one of those cars had a pound and a half.
So many people showing up early, he said, that vehicles were backed up to the bypass by 8:30 a.m.
We had to double the lanes up inside the sewer plant to get people off the road. So by 8:30, quarter nine, we had the system down, and then it was a steady pace until 12 o'clock. It didn't stop. We're issued a grant. I see if the grant can be doubled up. So if we do it twice a year, we'll have to find out if we can receive a grant for that second time. Otherwise, it could be we'd have to up the budget to do that.
762 vehicles showing up at the Burlington DPW facility, covering not just the city, but also the towns of Burlington, Yorkville, and Dover, plus the villages of Rochester, Union Grove, and Waterford. And just after midnight in the Waterford area, what was described as a utility emergency reported by the DOT, that for Highway 83 at Hill Valley Road, closing all travel lanes in both directions. The downtime listed initially at more than 2 hours took more than twice that amount to get the We Energy's repair crew there to fix the problem. Southbound traffic on 83 detoured at Maple Drive to Highway 20, then eastbound and back to 83. Northbound traffic detoured in reverse the same way. Both travel lanes reopening just after 5 o'clock this morning. Summers Village Board's got a public hearing at its May 19th meeting on a special event license request from a local bar on Sheridan Road planning a midget wrestling event the evening of May 13th. Summers House is at 1548 Sheridan. This is not the first time, however, for such an event there. The Kenosha News quotes the owner Chris Goches as saying they've done this for 10 years now and no documented complaints. Town Board President Mark Molinaro, though, lives less than a half mile away. He tells the paper, you can hear that event taking place outdoors because of a sound system. 7.5 months ago, Racine County Board Supervisor Mark Gleason suffered a stroke. He told supervisors last night that he's not a stroke victim, though. This is Stroke Awareness Month, Gleason believing it's a good time to tell his story, educate his fellow supervisors about strokes and how to prevent them. He got a little emotional talking about how he suffered a hemorrhagic brain bleed as opposed to a blocked artery in his brain.
It took me down in less than a minute. I was dizzy, disoriented, unable to speak clearly and going in and out of consciousness. I thought, well, this is it. I'm going to die. Well, that wasn't so. My wife said I was having a stroke. She recognized what it was. She called South Shore Fire Department. In less than 8 minutes, they scooped me up and we're heading to St. Luke's in Milwaukee.
Says he only remembers snippets of the days that followed until he got out of the ICU and into rehab. Gleason also said he learned that stroke victims often experience unusual changes,
such as high emotions like crying or laughing, for no reason whatsoever. Some have epiphanies or can suddenly speak six languages. I gotta tell you, it's weird science, but it works. I just wanted to be normal. It's very hard for me to speak about my caregivers at the hospital without becoming emotional. But I will tell you that I will never forget them.
Dr. Tom Wolf from the Aurora St. Luke Stroke Center said that early detection and treatment of a stroke, that is the key to recovery.
You heard 80% of strokes may be preventable. And potentially, the majority of them can be treated. But if you don't show up in a quick enough time, we may not be able to do anything, or it's all about preventing a secondary event. So again, time is critical to identify that something might be going on in order to get into the system and receive the appropriate treatment.
The supervisors told that strokes have decreased as a major cause of death in this country, but they are still the leading cause of disability. A slightly delayed Earth Day event coming up Saturday at Racine's Colonial Park from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. with the pulling and bagging of garlic mustard from the floodplain and maybe setting a world record in the process. Melissa Warner talking to the Racine Common Council last night during citizens' comments, saying everybody's invited to come participate in what's being called the Garlic Mustard Pickin' Party.
And we hope to collect, we're going to send our number off to Guinness and say we have the world record for the largest number of bags of garlic mustard collected at one event. And since nobody's ever done it before, it will be a world record, at least, you know, till next year.
Garlic mustard, pretty easy to identify and pull. That will be taking place, the pulling part, up until noon. Participants provided gloves and tools. Recommended, though, if you will participate, you wear long pants and closed-toed shoes. As for noontime, it's lunch and the music of the Garlic Mustard Pickers Band. Our forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.